Redeemer lives. Let all creation alive, church. Praise the Lord. Well, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord this morning? How many of you enjoyed church here last night? You appreciate the word of the Lord? It was good, wasn't it? Brother David blessed our heart from the word of the Lord last night. And well, we're back to have church again this morning. It's camp meeting Sunday morning style. Are you glad to be in the house of the Lord? Are you glad you love to come to the house of the Lord? Why don't you just look at somebody and say, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Brethren, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Harry, let's sing that one more time. You lead us in, we'll help you, okay?
I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify.
Hallelujah.
Let his life within me cry.
Yes, Lord.
I know my Redeemer.
I want you to say it like you believe it this morning. Yes, I know my Redeemer. He lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer. Praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. You can be seated for just a few minutes this morning while we look at our prayer request. Sister Megan Hubbard says that her mother is going to be having shoulder replacement surgery in a few days. So please help me in praying for a successful surgery and a speedy recovery. Thank you so much. We want to remember that request this morning as we pray. Brother Jerry Phillips is recovering nicely at home. Just continue to remember him in prayer that the Lord would just let him be all right. We love Brother Jerry and Sister Linda very much. So let's pray for Brother Jerry this morning. Brother Jerry Glenn will be having surgery Wednesday morning at the Veterans Hospital. They're asking us that we would remember him in prayer, so we certainly want to do that. Brother Keith Phillips offers this testimony in case anyone forgot, I am healed. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's right. Amen. We just keep confessing our healing. We can confess positive. There's no room for negative. Because you're talking the devil's language when you start talking negative. By his stripes, we are healed. May our faith have muscles to reach out and grab our healing. Do you believe that this morning? Praise the Lord. Brother Gary, let me listen to this testimony. Brother Gary says, I want to thank all my brothers and sisters for their prayers during my time of surgery and recovery. The latest test showed no cancer. Somebody say praise the Lord. Thank the Lord. Amen. We only got one steel player in this church and we want to keep him. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for your concern and especially your prayer. So we appreciate Brother Gary, Sister Lona, Harry, but especially Brother Gary. Bless his heart. Amen. I want to pray for a lady by the name of Lily from Ohio who has had a nervous breakdown. Also, a member of her family who is in severe need of prayer. So we will certainly want to remember those needs this morning. Brother Aaron McCoy says to please pray for Neil Ratliff who has liver failure, and the doctors are not giving him any hope. So we just pray that the Lord would be mindful of that situation as we pray today. Brother Carter Lawson says, please remember my sister Lola in your prayers, and a sister in the Lord that needs prayer for her son. God knows all about it. May God bless. So we just commit all these things unto the Lord. You have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something on your heart that you'd like for this assembly to pray about. We all have certain needs, different needs, various situations, but God cares about each and every one of them. Some of them may seem so small, you think, why should I even mention it? But God cares about little bitty things. There's no big or little to God. He just cares about his children. Do you believe that this morning? Amen. Can we stand together? Brother Daniel, if you'd come this morning, take us to the Lord in prayer as we pray today. Let's just commit all these things unto the Lord. Are you glad you're a Christian this morning? Amen. Give Brother Daniel a nice hand as he comes this morning.
A good service, why not, didn't we? Amen. Brother David did a great job. Came across something I thought it was good. You know, in this life, it seems like we are never satisfied with things. We always want something different. And this story says a beggar was standing on a street corner. And he commented to his friend, if only I had $100, I'd never complain again. A businessman walking by overheard the conversation. He said, excuse me. He said, did you say if you had $100, you'd never complain again? And the beggar replied, you hear right, sir. The man pulled out his wallet, gave him $100. He said, I'm glad that I can have a small part in bringing happiness to the world. After the man walked away, the beggar turned to his friend and said, I wish I had asked for $200. Amen. The only satisfaction that we'll ever get is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray over these needs. Heavenly Father, how we thank you this morning for bringing us back out to your house. Thank you for waking us up. Thank you, God, because we know that you're still on the throne. Thank you for the service that we were seeing last night. Now, God, we come to your throne again this morning, bringing our petitions and our requests before you. God, we know that your hands are not too short. Your ears is not too heavy that you can hear our cries. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move for every one of these needs. God, we'll be in this congregation, where it be over the internet, wherever it might be. May your hand go forth to touch and to save. God, we pray that you'll just move now for everyone that's in this service. Anoint the service and the servant. Bless every part of it. In Jesus' name, we'll give you the praise. Amen.
Amen. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here in this service today, we certainly want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming, we pray the service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's say God bless our streamers. God bless our streamers. Give them a nice hand this morning, if you will. You know, there's churches around our area, even all over the world this morning. They have their praise team that come up and I don't know, several members of a praise team. They all come up and they lead worship and this and that. Well, you're the praise team this morning. Well, look what a praise team we've got here this morning. We couldn't fit a third of you on this platform, but where you're at, you're Happy Valley's praise team. We are a praising God, aren't we? We're here to worship the Lord, aren't we? Amen. We're not going to ever, as long as God lets us live by His grace, we're never going to get so fancy around here that the least one of us don't have the right to praise God. The least one of us is just as important as ever who thinks he's the biggest. And I don't know who that is, but I don't like you much. We're here to worship our Lord. We're all one in God's eyes. Do you believe that this morning? Are you glad he included you? Are you glad you're part of the picture? Are you glad you're part of the puzzle? Give him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it. I'm one of them. Are you glad you're one of them? Old time Bible believing Christians that loves the power of God, loves the move of God. We're never going to get so cultured around here that we don't welcome the Spirit of the Holy Ghost. Is that right? Can I get an amen? Can somebody say praise the Lord? Can you give him one more hand clap of praise? You love him with all your heart. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. One of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. There are people almost everywhere. Hearts are all aflame with the fire that fell at Pentecost, which cleansed and made them clean. It is burning now within my heart, a glory to His name. I'm so glad, I'm so glad. I'm one of them, I'm one of them. I'm so glad. Oh, sing it to Him. Yes, one of them. I'm one of them.
Though these people may not learn to be a boast of worldly fame, they have all received their Pentecost, baptized in Jesus' name.
Yes,
and are telling now both far and wide, His power is yet the same.
Whoa.
I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, let's sing it to Him, church. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say say, I'm one of them.
They were gathered in the upper room all praying in His name.
Yes, they were.
They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. His powerful service came. Now what He did for them that day, He'll do for you the same. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Hallelujah. I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Seek this blessing that will cleanse your heart from sin, that will start the joy bells ringing, and will keep the soul aflame.
It is burning now within my heart, all glory to His name. I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
I'm one of them. I'm one of them. I'm so glad I can say Are you glad you're one of them?
Amen.
Are you glad you've been bought by the price of the blood of the Lord Jesus? Are you glad you've been filled with the Holy Ghost? I'd be ashamed if I wasn't. I'd be ashamed if I wasn't this morning. He's done so much for us. You believe that with all your heart. Let's sing this little chorus together. It's all because of one thing. Because of God's amazing grace, we can enter this place this morning and lift our hands and worship Him. Hands that used to hold beer bottles, whiskey bottles. Eyes that used to look at different bad things. A heart that was filled with malice. Bad feelings toward each other and one another. But because of His grace, He has cleaned us up. He has cleansed us. Are you glad you're clean this morning? What's the matter with the rest of you? Can't you raise your hand? Are you glad you're clean this morning? Give Him one more hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. Brother Aaron, Sister Lindsay, all you. The sound that saved a wretch like me. Oh, I was lost. Oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Once again, yes, it's amazing. Oh, sing with all your heart. Sing it to Him. Oh, it sounds so good. Give Him one more hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. I want to say we appreciate this group this morning that's going to sing. Certainly appreciate Brother Aaron leading singing for us last night. He does a great job, don't he? He really does. Brother Aaron, appreciate you, buddy. Let's give them a nice hand as you're seated this morning.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be.
Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide.
Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Great is faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, unto
stand to our feet. Brother Harry's going to give us a number this morning. I don't know what it is, but we'll just rest ourselves by standing. And I don't know if he knows what it is or not. But, well, we just appreciate God's grace to us. Appreciate the talents that the Lord has placed among us. Appreciate the ministry that the Lord has permitted us to sit under. We're blessed. We are blessed. We're blessed.
Y'all help me sing this chorus. How many's like me and would really like to go home?
Amen.
I would. Come, sweet Jesus. Come take me away. I really don't belong here now. I want to see your face. Oh, come, sweet Jesus. Come take me away. I really want to see you, Lord. Jesus, come today. I really don't belong here now. Lord, I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Come, take me away.
Your bride, pure and holy, for all this old world to see. Come in clouds of angels.
Amen.
Take us all away.
Oh,
to that place that you. I'm never ending day.
Everybody.
Oh, come, sweet Jesus. Take me from this place. I really don't belong here now. I want to see your face. Come.
Let's bow our heads together. Truly, Lord Jesus, there was nothing that would make us any happier than to know this would be our day that we will go home. We don't know when it will be. We don't know whether it will be a collective rapture or it will be us as individuals. One by one, we cross the river. But Lord, the most important thing we know is us being ready to meet you, having our hearts right, clean, and clear, to be able to stand before the presence of God. I pray that you'd help us today. Father, you'd take your word and anoint us afresh. May your presence, Lord Jesus, so touch every heart. We pray that you would lift us from this building here on 2733 Elizabethan Highway. May we be pulled in our souls from this location into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For we believe, Lord, that the spiritual resurrection of the Word is taking place, gathering your people around the world. And we're just so thankful that we're part of it. Take your word and anoint us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ain't the Lord good to us? So good to us. So appreciate the blessing of the Lord. Sorry I wasn't with you last night. Carol and I went down to Brother Dale Potter's memorial service yesterday afternoon in Manchester. And it was certainly a wonderful tribute to our brother. Different ministers that was there and spoke of different things that happened in their lives and so on. So certainly want to continue to remember the family in prayer. The Lord will just be with them. We know what a wonderful, blessed thing whenever saints of God cross over. Amen. Yet there's still that human element on our part that it makes us feel sad and empty and lonely, and God can comfort us. So certainly just desire your prayers for them. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 12. I want to speak to you again today on the wedding night. This is the absolute longest wedding night that's ever been known to man. It's been going on for 2,000 years. Yeah, for those that are actually part of the bride, I mean. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, campfire with spikenard and saffron, spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh, and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, and streams from Lebanon. Now her reply to his great complementary spiritual characteristics that he's found in her. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And the church said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. This garden, bride garden, is a glorious work of her master and her Lord. It truly is one of the greatest phenomenons that man has ever known. Nothing has ever excelled in its glory quite like this new creation of God. It has, as we looked at it last week, it has been revealed, as it was by the will of God, to be revealed in three stages or steps. And we know the characteristics and the traits of God, if we can ever find them. We see them repeat over and over and over again. God is identified with several threes in the economy of God, because this is His way. This is His nature. God goes by numerical values and things that is of value to Him. Threes, fives, sevens, 14s, 40s, 50s. All these things are God's choice. He did not choose the numbers that maybe you and I would, but it's important to Him. Let's look at a few of these threes in Israel and the church. The prophet said there's three stages of the journey: Israel in Egypt, Israel in the wilderness, Israel in the homeland. Now these threes, sometimes these threes will run in only one type, and once that type is fulfilled, then they cease to exist and have a continuous moving of God. But for many of these, they go right on, one after another, after another, after another. This one is one of those where it not only was three with the children of Israel, but it's three with us as well. Again, he says there's three stages of everything. There's the stage of the mortal body, the immortal body, and then the glorified body, just like other things. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit goes in one channel. Three, that makes one. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost in a channel makes the one. Soul, body, and spirit makes the one. It travels in threes, and threes are one. So it travels in threes, and threes are one. Now remember, this is the way God chooses to reveal Himself. So threes aren't always three. Now man will look at threes and get three every time, but God looks in threes and gets one. Now through three steps or three movings of the Spirit of God, it produces one desired effect. People look at the attributes of Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and they come out with three gods. God looks at three and comes out with one. Any true believer does exactly the same way. So it travels in threes, and threes are one. Again, in Future Home, he says, here the apostle in 2 Peter in the 2nd chapter and the 5th and 6th verse. Yes, here I've got it. He refers to three stages of the earth. He gets the three stages and he brings them. The old world that stood out of the water, now that was the antediluvian world, and the present world that we live in now, it is called a world, and the old world that stood out of the water in Genesis 1:1. Now he said, then again he refers to one, the world that is to come. Three worlds or three stages of the world. So the earth that stood out of the water, and then the earth which was in the antediluvian destruction, and then the earth that is now. Three stages of the same earth or world. Again he says, how he led us to himself, to tabernacle in us by three stages of grace. Now notice, not one stage of grace, but three stages. So if there's three stages, I want all three. Three stages of grace, just like he's led the world in three stages to come to the world. God will come to the world after it's gone through three stages of purification. That's exactly right. He comes to us through three stages of grace. That at the beginning, I've taught it and I've never changed. Now, this is the way if we're going to be in the fullness of what God is going to do. Now, many people are in stage one. Stage one is wonderful. Stage two is wonderful. But you'll never get the fullness of God until you move into the stage threes. Two stages are not one. Three stages equal one word. Again, in the beginning, he says, was the Word. The Word was with God, and it dwelt among us. Three stages, it was the attribute first. Now, this is the reason that God chooses three stages to reveal the greatness of His power, is because He chose three stages Himself. He could have chose seven. He could have chose 40. He could have chose 50, but He chose three in order to reveal the great personification of His own being. That is fatherhood, sonship, baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's three stages. It was the attribute first that was in God, that He thought of Himself as being a human being, that transmitted Him down to be Jesus. And you'll never be there. Now notice, it goes straight from Jesus to you, and you'll never be there. You was in Him then. So in the original transmission from the eternal to when the eternal condescend down into to the Logos, the Son of God, you was in that original transmission. Now you don't remember it, of course, no more than you remember when you was in your earthly father, but yet you were there.
And it was part of that. Now this fits into the three as well. Watch this, for there's only one form of eternal life, and that's God. And you had to be a part of that at the beginning. Not what you chose down here, he chose you. Not what you chose down here, he chose you. All the Father's given me will come. Again, the natural seed was only a carrier of the spiritual. The seed, listen to this now, like the stalk, tassel, and shuck. Here again we find the threes. The stalk, tassel, and the shuck, or the seed rather. We went through that before in another message, but I'd like to preview it or go back to it. There's three stages of the seed. Shows us the true picture, the three stages of the natural seed in the earth. And we know God dealt with Abraham, and he comes to them. There's three natural stages that God reveals the promised seed of the word. Like a seed is planted, brings forth a stalk, a little blade shoots from it, then the tassel, then the pollen hangs on that, and then the seed again. So the threes produce one. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost produces one new birth. Now you say, I went to the altar last night and I got saved. I'm born again. Not unless you got all three stages at the same time. Now, it's very possible that a person can do that depending on where they are. More than likely, most people, it will be a progression of growth that God will deal with them as they move from stage one to stage two to stage three. And then what do those three stages produce? The rapture and the resurrection. Notice again now in Melchizedek, he says, we see here plainly the complete secret of our lives in journey and death and where we go after we die. There's even three stages in this, in journey and death and where we go after we die. So there's three stages of the purposes of your life, and there's also three stages by which the seed is brought to you. The stages of the eternal purpose, he had this in his secret, and he calls it his secret, but it's been revealed. There is three stages to perfection. Amen. Just as he redeems the world the same way he redeems the church, he redeems the people in three stages. Now, first is justification like Luther preached. Second, sanctification like Wesley preached. Third, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then comes the rapture. First, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then comes the rapture. So those three produce one. What are they going to produce? The rapture in you and I. Now, the world. How did he redeem the world? The first what he did, it sinned. He washed it off in water baptism. Then he dropped his blood on it, which is second stage, sanctification. And he said he dropped his blood upon it from the cross, sanctified it, and called it his own. Then what does he do? As he tore all the world out of you and renovated the whole thing by the fiery baptism of the Holy Ghost, he also will renovate this world. Oh, praise God. And it'll be burnt over with fire and cleanse every germ for millions of miles high. Everything will be cleaned out. Then there is a new heaven and a new earth, just like you are a new creature in Christ Jesus when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of you. Praise the Lord. See, there you are. The whole thing is just as plain as it can be. Now again, in Melchizedek, he said the natural birth is in three. What's it been doing? And the happens to the woman having a baby. What breaks first? Water. What breaks next? Blood. What's the next process? Spirit. So water, blood, spirit brought you into the life. So those three steps produce one birth, and that's you as a human being. Right. What happens to the plant? It rots. What's the first thing? Stalk. What's next? Tassel. What's the next? Shuck. Then the grain comes out. Just the three stages till it gets to the grain again. So the garden then was revealed in three stages or three pulls. As we looked at it last week, it was that the earth was the outer court. Eden was actually the inner court, and of course the Garden of Eden was the Holy of Holies. Now you remember reading whenever Cain and Abel were actually outside of the Garden of Eden, And the scripture says whenever the Lord put the curse upon Cain, that he sent him forth from the land of Eden. So he went to the land of Nod. So Cain actually moves beyond the holy place. He moves beyond the sanctified place, the second stage of grace, which was Eden. And he's actually drove out into a land of Nod. And there he found a wife, which of course in Noah's genealogy was his sister. And there he married her. And from there in Genesis 4, we know that civilization began to spring forth. So it was out of the holy place, out of the sanctified spot, into the outer court of the earth. Out there, people can live pretty much any kind of life they want to live. Now, we know that the glory of God has always been revealed in such a wonderful thing. And the glory, the Hebrew word for glory in the Old Testament was doxa. In the New Testament, doxa. But it comes to the same thing, that it is the power of God being revealed. And the garden that we're looking at in the Song of Solomon was also revealed in three stages of glory. Now, the last sermon that Brother Branham had prepared actually to preach before, there's actually two or three of them, that he was going to preach before he passed away. He had left Arizona driving back whenever he was in the automobile accident. And one of them was the glory of the Lord. Several years ago, Brother George Smith let me make copies of that sermon, and I've got them and kept them and looked at them over and over again. And it's quite amazing that the last thing that he was studying on, that he was preparing a sermon to bring to the people, was the glory of the Lord. Now, each time as I look at those things, those notes, and I realize that it was the capping off or the bringing to that spot, it was the end of the prophet's life, and the last thing that he had planned on bringing was the glory of the Lord. He brings it right on down, of course, from the beginning in the book of Genesis, comes down to Matthew, comes down the opening of the Lord Jesus, the breaking of the seals, comes down to Tucson, and the angels of the Lord appear, and then he brings it right on down to where that's going to be in the bride. Now, truly, the glory of God is revealed from step to step. You believe that? Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, talking about the Ten Commandments, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Now he's bringing a parallel from the Old Testament to the new, that if the Old Testament law had so much glory that when Moses come down from the mountain and the people beheld his face and they looked upon him, the glory of God being in the presence of God was so bright they had to get a veil and put over Moses' face. Now that was a great thing in one sense of the word, but in another sense of the word, it was showing the carnality of the congregation he was bringing the word to, and showing they was not able to receive that word. Oh Lord, children, oh God, opens up our hearts today and helps us to see that we're living in a time when the mighty one has been unveiled among us. If, amen, if he has been unveiled, there must be a people on the earth that can stand in the presence of God. Hallelujah! And the very person, the Lord Jesus himself, the Son of Man, will be able to stand and remove the final veil right before we step into the rapture, because there is a people on the earth that can identify themselves with who he is. Not a church denomination, not this preacher and that preacher, but the baptism of the Holy Ghost to eternal life. Now watch how Paul reveals this, and he shows it in stages. For if the administration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the administration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by the reason of the glory that excelleth. So when the glory of God was revealed on Mount Sinai, it was a wonderful thing, but only compared to the former glory which had been revealed up to that time. Now Abraham, as great as the glory of God was revealed to him, we never find an instance where Abraham ever had a talk with God, and whenever he come out from that conversation, they had to cover his face. Or Jacob, or any of the other patriarchs. Yet it was so great on the mountain when Moses was there that the personification of the glory came from God, and it came over on a man's body. And that glory was so great, they had to put a veil over this man's flesh. Now it was was wonderful. It exceeded the glory which Abraham had known. You understand? It exceeded the glory which Isaac had known and Jacob had known and other people had known. Yet, it was greater in that it exceeded what had previously been known. But it was not greater in comparison to what was going to be revealed. Now notice the way God does. God reveals His glory in stages or steps. Now human beings, they love the glory of God. Those that lean toward God, of course, they love the glory of God. They want the glory of God. And yet many of them, when they feel like the glory of God is being revealed about something, to them the revealing of glory means they have to do less. Less is required of them. They don't have any input. They have nothing to do. And this is one reason that folks like a lot of the glory of God. Because it means God's going to do more and they're going to do less. God's going to do more and they don't have to do anything at all. But that does not follow the pattern of God. The glory of God which was revealed in Egypt was a wonderful glory. And it was by signs, wonders, miracles, and supernatural. But yet, as far as the requirement for what the children of Israel had to do, there wasn't hardly anything at all in the land of Egypt that God gave them. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt do this, thou shalt not do that. There wasn't hardly any commandments of all. You follow me? Because this was the way God chose to reveal the glory. They were not up to it yet. So the glory of God is being revealed, and God would give them a little bit. Now go out there and do this and do that and slay the lamb. There wasn't hardly no requirement to that. But as soon as they come out of the land of Egypt and the glory of God is now going to be revealed on Mount Sinai, then what comes with the excelling glory? Requirement on their part. Now, if they want to try to go back now and say, now, wait a minute, I thought we're free. I thought we were freed from being slaves, and now you bring us out and you tell us we can't do this and we can't go there and we can't go. Come on now, don't get quiet on me. Why? Because the excelling glory brought a greater requirement for those who's going to participate in the glory of God. My. Was it greater? You feel like it was a greater glory? It was. But yet in reality, in order to participate of that glory, there was more they had to do. Boy, I've done let my thunder out now. Some of y'all don't see where I'm going. Now watch this. Even in that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth, for that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. So God chooses him to reveal himself in stages of the glory. Now in this stage of the glory, and whenever they come down, when Moses come down from the mountain, God said, now thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. And then God moves continuously and not only gives them the Ten Commandments, but God goes to tell them how to plant their fields. God goes to tell them what clothes to wear. Why? The glory was getting greater. Now, the way God looks at it, for the glory to get greater, the participation of the elect of God must also become greater involved in the word as well. Now, the way we look at, well, God does it all, we don't have to do anything, that's a perfect message for the Laodiceans going into the tribulation period, but that's not a message that's going to produce a rapturing faith for a bride. Right. Now, whenever the Lord Jesus came, of course, John foreran him and he preached for 6 months, something like that. It was definitely a glory which now exceeded what Moses had to say. As a matter of fact, Jesus, referring back to John, said that John was the greatest of all the prophets. Yet John did no miracles. He didn't open the Red Sea. He did not call any quail or any manna out of heaven. But the glory of God was now being revealed in a greater way. You believe it was greater? But would it look greater to the human eyes? I mean, this man did no signs, no wonders, no miracles, preached 6 months, yet it was greater. And notice now, as he preaches, there's not that much requirement again, which he puts upon the people. But he says, repent, and then what did they do? They come and was baptized. And some of the soldiers come up and they said, so what should we do? He said, don't you exact more taxes than what you should? And the Pharisees said, what should we do? And he said, well, do this and do that. Still wasn't very much at all that God required for them to be able to participate in the glory of God. Now, then it moves from John, it moves over to Jesus. And guess what? When it moves over to Jesus, Jesus started giving them more, thou shalt and thou shalt not, and thou shalt and thou shalt not, and you won't do this, and you won't do this, and you won't. Wait a minute, I thought the more glory of God was revealed, the less I had to do. Somebody lied to you. Was the glory greater moving from John the Baptist to Jesus? Was it? But yet the people had to do more. Oh my. Now, look, friend, you got a garden in your soul. A lot of it's going to be up to you. What's going to be the productivity out of that garden? Watch now. Let's move to Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Thou shalt not kill. Which, you know, many people, that they say, well, you know, you can't go into war and you can't fight. Yet the same God that told them this also sent them out to fight the Philistines, the Amorites, the Hittites. So you have to look at the Hebrew origination of the word here, that they are not to kill in malice and strife with a previous type of intent. Now, they had to defend their homes and so on as far as that goes. But God said, you shall do no murder. Now, notice how with the glory now changing and moving higher, the Jews simply understood this as taking one's life. But watch the Lord Jesus, how he moves this into a higher sphere. But I say unto you, now you've heard it said by them of old time, thus and so and thus and so, but I say unto you, what do we have? A new lawgiver. Moses said this, but a greater than Moses is here. Luther said the just shall be saved by faith, but a greater than Luther is here. Wesley said you got to be sanctified, but a greater than Wesley is here. Praise the Lord. Now watch, Jesus says, but I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Now notice how Jesus takes what the law says and he magnifies or exemplifies what the law said, and the glory is going to be greater. Isn't going to be a greater work in the hearts of people? Yes. Isn't he going to do it all? Well, in one sense of the word, yes. As far as salvation, absolutely. But this is after salvation. This is after you're saved. This is something you've got to do. John the Baptist never told him this. You understand? With the breaking of the glory come more requirement and more fulfillment for those who really said they believed what he said. Now, for people who say they follow the teachings of Jesus and hate, I hate to tell them this, but they're deceived. You can't follow the teachings of Jesus and hate people. That's right. You can disagree, but you can't hate. Now, notice, but the people feel like the excelling glory, it brings greater blessings, greater peace, more cars, more money, more houses, more clothes, and they don't have to do hardly anything. Chapter 5, verse 27. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Amen. Jesus is quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 14. But I say unto you, you have heard it said by them of old time. Notice he doesn't even say this is the Ten Commandments. He doesn't even say, make reference back to the Mount, but he said, you've heard it said by them of old time. By them of old time. That's why some of y'all can't really go out, grab a hold of this word, because you're still repeating what was said to you of them of old time. Your grandpa, your grandma, your aunt and uncle. Well, it was said to them of old time, my mother sowed that predestinated seed, but I say unto you, God was the only one who can plant that seed in you. Your mama never done it. Your grandpa never done it. You've heard it said by them of old time. Come on, saints. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. This glory exceeds beyond Moses and John the Baptist, and it's more strict. Well, that don't make no sense. If you're a Laodicean, I mean. Because the more glory, the more grace, the less you have to do, supposedly. That's why a lot of folks in this age don't live right. They don't go to church. They don't pay their tithes. They don't pray. They don't read the Bible. They really don't do anything. But they're all saved, and when they all die, they're all going to heaven. Praise the Lord. So Jesus now changes it from the law by which a man would have to physically take another man's wife and lay with her and commit adultery with her. But Jesus said, now the glory is changing. And what's the glory change? It comes on down deeper in the heart. So now Jesus says, I say unto you that if a man looks upon a woman and lust. The English doesn't quite represent the Greek words here that's used. The intent is more strong in the Greek than it is in the English. So it's not just a passing glance that a woman goes by and a man turns and he looks in a passing glance. But it is the continued gaze by which the impulse is deliberately cherished until it becomes a burning passion and desire. So it's not that a woman walks by and a man's eyes fall upon that woman. He turns back the other way. Well, you guilty of adultery. That's not the word that was used here. But it's whenever a man looks and he moves upon his lust and moves upon his passion until it becomes a desire. And the man never even touched her. The man never even walked up and made any introduction of who he was, who she was. Never even tried to do anything at all. So what did the glory do? The excelling of the glory brought a more strict requirement of what the word said. Praise be to God. Notice again, Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. It has been said, notice how he refers to this. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. Uh-oh, everybody just throwed on their emergency brakes. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Hallelujah. I'll exempt you from amens for the next few moments. Some of y'all's eyes as big as the eggs you eat for breakfast nearly. Now what's this? This is a very complex verse. You imagine now there's two great schools of thought in this time frame when Jesus is on the earth. Those are the school of Hillel. Believe that a man can divorce his wife for just about any cause. The teaching of Hillel has, I think, been introduced to the message, a few folks. Well, a man is a man, so he can put away his wife for any cause. You're lying. Praise the Lord. Jesus says, but I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. Why would he cause her to do it? Because he will put her in the spot that she cannot contain herself. Let me just say it and say it plain. Woe be to the men that will leave their wives and go after another, whether they live with them or marry them or whatever more, and put a daughter of God into decades of struggling, living without a husband, living without a man of the law. Woe be to the men that would put families, mothers and children into a situation where they had to be raised by themselves because some selfish man, some selfish individual wants his own sexual gratification more than he wants the responsibility of being a husband and being a father. I'll tell you, friend, the judgment of God awaits many men because they have put their wives away, because they have left their wives and put their wives in this thing. Not only will many of them answer for adultery, they will actually answer to be the cause of causing many women to get remarried. Men that leave their wives and them to struggle and struggle and try to raise their family. And them go on and marry somebody else and live happily ever after. Not in the eyes of God. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, brothers. We stand in a place, my brothers. Being in a covenant, separate, of course, we know, because of the original fall. But with that comes great responsibility, men. In that, if you don't fulfill your duty, whether it's to your wife, to your children, to your God, that we will answer for more than our wives ever will. Well, praise the Lord. You see, we want more glory, but we want to do less and be required less. I'm sorry, that's not the way it works in the economy of God. That's the way it works with Laodicea, but many of these people is going to be lost. Is that what you want? You want to be lost. You want to live your life and wind up being lost. Oh my. Now, there's one reason other than death by which a man has a scriptural right to remarry. Oh Lord, the internet just clicked. That is fornication. Well, Brother Donnie, I agree with you, buddy. Amen. Now you're preaching what I believe, which has to be only before marriage. Whoever told you that lied to you and didn't tell you all the truth. Notice this, why we're not a denomination. With some, the kings of the earth have committed fornication. For the kings of the earth have committed fornications, rich men, great men. How would you commit it? A king commit fornication with a church. It's spiritual fornication. Mm-hmm. What is fornication? It's like a woman living untrue. Y'all do believe what he said, right? So fornication is not just premarital sex. Look at your Greek word, porneia, any illicit sexual act. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't figure the sisters would say amen, but I thought at least a few of you brothers would be able to. Notice this, what is fornication? As well, it's like a woman living untrue to her husband. She's living with another man while she's got a husband. Fornication? Read your Bible, Revelation 17. How come God calls the Catholic Church a great whore? Because she's committed fornication. It wasn't prior to the time he married her. It's after he married her. Why did God put away the Lutheran Church? It wasn't premarital spiritual relation. It was after marriage. How did he put away the Wesley Church? It wasn't premarital relations. It was after the marriage. Oh my. And this church is pretending to be the bride of Christ while she's committing fornication with the kings of the world, with her unclean living, unclean profession. Again, condemnation by representation. A woman commits fornication. She lives untrue to her husband. A church that commits fornication preaches something that's not God's word. High breeds the church. Again, the marriage of the Lamb. The church has done the same thing, committing spiritual fornication. As a woman would share her love from her husband to another man, that woman's not fit to be lived with. Oh my. The glory of this message brought this with it. Now you see, this is why folks separate the miracles, the discernment, the supernatural from Brother Branham, and they say, oh, nobody ever had the gift of yet. Oh, by it's coming back on the earth. Oh, I want the gift of Brother Branham. I want the anointing of Brother Branham. Oh, I want to be able to stand up and call people out and do this and that and the other. I don't. I want to be able to say what he said. To me, it's a greater glory. It's a greater glory than if I would turn my back this morning and said, you ate so-and-so for breakfast this morning, and you need to do this right, and you need to do that. To me, I'm standing in a greater glory right now, because if I did that discernment, I'd be an impersonator. But by preaching what he said, I'm a true-born son of this message. Amen. I'm a true born son of this word, because the glory of God brings a stricter way of living instead of letting you live any way you want to live. Now notice now, when we read the scripture, Jesus said, if a man puts away his wife, Jesus never said a woman putting away her husband. I realize some of you have a problem with it. I don't think that's fair. Well, maybe God chose you to sit on the judiciary board of his word to determine whether his word is fair or not. I didn't get that same invitation myself. I mean, I'm supposed to believe it. I'm supposed to take it. Fair or not fair, whatever you want to do with it, this is the word. Look, sis, if you're in that situation, let God release you of that attitude you've got against that promise, and then the strength of that promise will help you to live that kind of life. But as long as you've got an attitude toward the word of God, God will not help you to live it. Well, praise the Lord. Notice this in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 1. When a man has taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he hath found some uncleanness in her, let him write her a bill of divorcement, give it in her hand, and let him send her out of his house. Now then what happens after the woman is divorced? Verse 2. And when she is departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. Under that glory, that was the word that went with that glory. Praise the Lord. Oh, then, so all this strict things then is on the women, and the man can do basically whatever they want to do, right? A man can run around, he can do whatever he wants to do, live like a devil, have girlfriends, wives, and so on. Oh, yeah, he can do that, but he'll go straight to hell when he does it. Notice again, Jesus says in Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. It don't make no difference if it's the pastor's son, the pastor's grandson, pastor's niece, nephew, granddaughters, whoever it is. I'm sorry, I don't see any exemption here. Maybe you got a special Bible. I got the King James Version. Maybe you got a Parker Version, or a Lehman Version, or a Horn Version. Except my son, except my daughter, except my granddaughter. I'm sorry, I don't read that version. There's one reason that a man can put away his wife: fornication. Well. I guess you all wish I'd have stayed in Manchester yesterday, huh? Whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery. But yet, friends, in the age we're living, people get married and divorced and married and divorced. You've got them just like I've got them in my family. It's married 4 and 5 and 6 times, and many of them don't even get married no more. They just live together like hogs. They live together like animals. Well, we're all going to heaven. Not like this, we're not. These are the words of the Lord Jesus himself. How can we refute them? Now, the school of Heliel had so defined this: if a woman fixing supper for her husband burnt the meal, he had a right to divorce her. Well, I'll tell you one thing, if that had been so, me and Carol wouldn't have celebrated 44 years last week. I was eating blackened food before it was in style. If the woman raised her voice to her husband, if the woman raised her voice to her in-laws, he could put her away. So Jesus said, hey, you bunch of sorry men, you need to get your hide straightened up. When he goes to teaching on this, the disciples said, Lord, have mercy. It's better for a man not to even get married if that's the way it is. Why? Most of these disciples were Pharisees, which come under the teaching of Eliel, and they believed that you could put your wife away for anything. I'll tell you, friend, the prophet of God never brought the truth of marriage and divorce so that our churches could be rampant in divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage. And what do people do? They fall out of love with their spouse, and then they have an affair, and then they get out of church and backslide and marry that other person. Then they will come back in church, and everything is hunky-dory. It ain't hunky or dory. You're still married. You don't repent of getting married. Oh, my goodness. Only one offense. One offense. Fornication. Well, hallelujah. Y'all are pulling at you. You want me to pull beyond that? So I don't care. You can pull like a Ute truck. I ain't moving till it's settled down. Watch this in Romans chapter 7, verse 2. Now, those many folks get so mad at Brother Branham and so angry at Brother Branham because Brother Branham preached marriage and divorce the way that he did. Don't get mad at Brother Branham. Get mad at Jesus. Jesus was the one who brought this change. Paul affirmed it, and the prophet of God come and restored it. Don't get mad at him. Go back to the source. Jesus Christ. Now watch this. Paul says in Romans 7:2, for the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law. What law? Bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed. He's going to tell us what law. From the law of her husband. It's not the law of the Old Testament. It's not the law of the land. It's the law of her husband. But isn't it amazing? Type it in and check me out after church if you want to. And some of you probably doing it on your phone right now. But there is no law of the wife mentioned in the entirety of Scripture. Can't you see why this age can't stand the King James Version? They got to rewrite it. We're sexist and all that sort of thing if we do it. And yet people are letting their babies be born. One born the other day. Well, in Canada. And whenever they actually had the baby's birth certificate, they never put a sex on there because they don't want to make the child one or the other. Insane! The world has gone insane! So they had to write a Queen James Version. So it takes all the hymns and the hers and the masculine identity and the feminine identity out. Well, that's a good thing for them, but that won't work for us. Because we're proud of him. And we know we're her. Amen. The identity is very important to us, saints. Amen. Notice now, you said, Brother Don, that's unfair. It is not unfair. It was the woman who brought all this on us in the beginning. Now for you sisters that are sorry, you're a woman. I'm sorry that you're sorry that you're sorry. You've got a great honor and a great privilege in the presence of God to be a daughter of God. Is it more strict in some way? It is. In other ways, you can't even compare to the strictness of us men have. Men are the head of the home. You men allow things in your home. You know who God's going to make answer? Not your wife that don't want it there, but you. You men that don't lead your people to come to the house of God, your family, and give the importance to them. Do you understand what you're doing? If you project to them that coming to church regularly and faithfully is an option, hey, who's to say that your children won't think God is unnecessary? Because what goes on in your life is always magnified in your children. It'll be magnified in their children. What about your grandchildren? Do they even believe there is a God? And who's God going to hold responsible? Not that wife of yours, but you men that won't pray, you men that won't, oh Lord have mercy, you men that will not stand up and say, God, make me a man in my home. Make me not a dominating man, but a man of love and character. Help me to lead my wife and my children. May we fall in line behind the gift of God. May we be ready for a rapture, Lord. Oh my, the Lord Jesus preached such wonderful things, didn't he? Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir. And yet Paul excelled in glory. You see, no one could excel in glory any farther, any higher, any greater than the Lord Jesus on a personal basis. He had the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But many of the doctrines of the New Testament, which are required for the first resurrection, for them to be partakers in the resurrection, Jesus never preached. So they could have stuck to the preaching of Jesus for years and years, Harry, and said, bless God, I'm following Jesus' teaching. I'm following Jesus' teaching. I'm going to be in the first resurrection. Only those in the first church age who went on to follow the teachings of Paul will be in the first resurrection. The others could have memorized the words of Jesus. They could have memorized what Jesus said and memorized it and said it word for word and said, hallelujah, I'm going to be in the resurrection. Not if you're in the Ephesian age. If you're in the Ephesian age, you had to take what Jesus said, what Peter said, what James said, come on saints, what Paul said, why? Because he chose to reveal the glory of the garden in the feminist stage. Nobody as far as an individual ever compare or excel to what the Lord Jesus was. But when it come to the glory in the body, the glory was greater. It was greater when it come on Pentecost. Why? It was God, not in one human being, but in 120. Can I go on? Notice how Paul goes from verse 2, being the woman being bound by the law of her husband, to verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law. What law? The law of her husband. So that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Oh, the glory is so wonderful. It's so great. And with it comes this. Now, people can divide the glory and say, oh, the miracles, the signs, the wonders, the cars, the BMWs, the Cadillacs, the Lincolns. Oh, my, I want all that. Do I have to take this? Part of the package. Well, thank you, Jesus. Who had ever thought years ago we'd have preachers sending message pulpit married 2 or 3 times? Deacons on the board married 2 or 3 times. You say you ain't got no right. I do have a right. I'm called to preach the truth. My, notice this. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 39 said the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But sisters, if you're in that state and you find yourself there, and if you have an attitude against this, the power that's in that promise to help you live it, you'll struggle your entire single life, you trying to do it without an attitude. But if you'll submit to that like you do your hair and your dress and every other thing and say, God, I can't do this on my own, but this is your word and your word is right. It is true. It is not impartial and it is fair. So the excelling glory does not eliminate us from doing certain things and not doing other things. Matthew chapter 5 verse 38. You have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Or we'd say a Facebook for us by Facebook, or a text for a text. An email for an email, a phone call for a phone call. But I say unto you, the bringer of the new glory of God, the revealed glory of God, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. You mean there's more I've got to do? A bunch more. But the glory, but this is all grace. It is. You being saved is all grace. And you being able to do this is all grace too. But grace does not mean there's nothing left for you to do the rest of your life except on a spiritual, sit on a spiritual rocking chair in your front porch and drink a gosh cold tea and eat moon pies the rest of your spiritual life. This message don't just bring liberty. It brings more requirements than any age has ever had. You can see why we've got a falling away. It must come. It must come. Lot must separate from us. If any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Oh my goodness. So I mean, you're going to court. They're going to take your car. And you show up and give them the truck keys at the same time. Bless God, I'll tell you one thing. I'll never. But you want glory. You want rapture glory. You want bride glory. You want resurrection glory. This comes with the glory. Lord Jesus, I want it whether anybody else does or not. Whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn thou not away. Ye have heard it said, been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. I mean, somebody just blesses you out and cusses you till a fly won't light on you. And you just say, bless you, bless you, bless you, bless you. Their blood pressure goes 385 over 937. They have a big major stroke. And I mean, they're in such tense pressure, the false teeth fall out. And you're standing there blessing them the whole time. And they're cursing you so bad that it's awful. Don't you see, friend, why folks will miss the glory? They miss the requirement to move into the cycle of this excelling glory because they want nothing they have to do, nothing they have to give up. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. I want this glory, don't you? Oh my. Preacher down to memorial service of Brother Potter yesterday told me, he said, Brother Donnie, he said, I admire you so much. I love you, brother. He's a minister, pastor. He said, I got to ask him the Lord the other day, Lord, why can't I be like Brother Donnie? Why can't I preach like him? And go out. And he said, then I thought, I'm gonna do a search on Brother Donnie Reagan on Google. He said, after about 10 minutes, he said, God, I don't want to be Brother Don. I said, brother, that ain't even but half the story. I don't want to be Donnie Reagan either. Oh, people want this and that and the other when they see God using a man. But do they want the requirement that goes with it? Come on, Happy Valley. You want a prayer life, you want a family, you want a home, but do you want the requirement that he comes to meet it? I say yes, we want it. As the bride of Jesus Christ, I want the glory that belongs to the bride, and I am willing to suffer reproach from my Lord Jesus. I'm willing to be laughed at, ridiculed, made fun of, blasphemed, and everything else, because I want this glory. To me, what could be greater than to be standing one day combing my gray hair, and all of a sudden, while my comb is still in my hair, the power of God comes over my body and I'm changed back to a young man. Hallelujah. But in order to get that glory, there is word that I must keep. understand. Boy, it didn't take y'all as long today as it normally does. Nobody said, oh. God bless you, saints. I love you with all my heart. Don't we want the glory of God? Don't get in your mind because we're bright. We're required less. We're required more. Well, I don't have to do this, and I don't have to do that, and I don't have to. You're right. You don't have to do anything. If you don't want to, suit yourself. But if you're born of the Spirit of God, you don't look at it that you have to. You want to. You just simply want to. Because you love Him so much. And you know you're not even worthy to be saved. Well, it says to be bride. To be the bride of Christ. And with that glory. Oh my. The suffering, the persecution, the difficulty that Moses had to deal with in order to bear that reflection of glory on his face. Talked about by his own brother and sister. Ridiculed, made fun of by the very people that he sent to help. The reproach that came with bearing the glory of God. For the Lord Jesus to bear that glory. For the early church, as we've been looking at the book of Acts. For them to bear that shared glory of the Lord Jesus. What they had to go through. Can we honestly ask the Lord for the easy way? No trouble. No difficulty. Not me. Not me. Well, I'm not asking for trouble. I'm not asking for persecution. I'm not asking for everybody to love me. Too late for that. Some do, that's right. And them's the ones that keeps me going too. There's glory. What greater glory can be when one day souls will be loose from the sixth dimension. Theophany bodies will start coming out of that realm. Following the advent of our Lord's changing from his priesthood garments to his king garments. Theophanies will start penetrating time. The other day, and I heard Brother Potter had passed away, and I was thinking for his family, praying for his family and his children and all that, you know, him leaving. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God spoke these words to me. He has been released from the prison of time into the realm of immortality. I thought, praise God. That's what we're waiting for. To be released from this prison of time into the realm of immortality. What could be a greater glory? Oh, for a man to walk in the hospital and pray for the sick and somebody turn a prayer. Brother West come and prayed for me and I got better. That's wonderful. That's so wonderful. But no doubt if you live long enough, you get sick again. But the glory God wants to share with you is the glory of his own resurrection. When Jesus' body lay in that tomb, think of it. Jesus did not just need to be resurrected. Jesus needed to be changed. Jesus had allowed old age to set in motion in his body. His beard was gray. He had gray in his hair. Jesus didn't need just a resurrection. Jesus needed a body change. He experienced the entire rapture in one moment. The resurrection and the body change. Both groups. Woo! Glory to God. His body raises and you imagine as it does. The gray goes out of his hair. He was 33 and a half rather. And what does he go? Reverts back to 21, 22 years old, something like that. And what's he want to share glory with you? That you can experience his resurrection. God, do you want it? But with it, my friends, comes great requirements. Are you willing to go that way? Are you willing to go that way? God help us to be willing.
Let's bow our heads if you would. Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us today, Lord. There is no easy gender in this message, whether male or female. With liberties come responsibilities. With less liberties come great responsibilities. The woman is given the greatest responsibility when it comes to bearing of life. The man may pack the seed, but the man cannot by himself produce offspring. So the woman must receive the seed and be the bedding grounds of life. With that great glory, that great place of motherhood, comes the great responsibility for her to protect her virtues, her stature, the way she acts around man. Man has the responsibility, the ability to be able to impart seed, to be a father of children. His duty ain't over once him and his wife conceive. He now moves into a greater sphere. Lord Jesus, I pray you'd help each of us. Lord, some of our sisters, our brothers and sisters choose to homeschool their children. Because they feel like the schools are so rotten and corrupt, and they are. But I pray you'd help them to understand homeschooling goes beyond books. It goes beyond the curriculum on a computer. There's so much more that they need to teach them than just math and spelling. We're teaching them every day by our values. The way they see us read and pray or hear us pray, or the way they see our faithfulness to church and our attendance to things spiritually. We're homeschooling them every day. Help us all, Father. Help us men to assume the responsibility, Lord, that we are called. As the prophet of God said, God will never make your wife answer for you, but it'll make you answer for her. Help us men of this church, and not only this church, but of this message, Lord, to be real sons of God, that we can love and forgive. May we lead our families in love and forgiveness and harmony. May we lead our wives. May we lead our children. The prophet of God reminds us of the scripture that Paul writes about it and tells the wives to reverence their husbands. Reverence their husbands. And the prophet says that a man should live the kind of life that his wife can reverence him. So we see us being the head of the home, being in the position we're in. It's not all glory and free from responsibility. Many times the men don't want to be spiritual head in their home, and the wife will have to step up and do many of the things that the man's supposed to do. The man will answer for every one of them times that he didn't do it to. Help us, God. Help me, Lord, as a pastor. Lord, as I get older, my strength's not as much as it was. But Father, may I, as long as I have the ability, may I never compromise. Lord, I've made many, many enemies around the world for standing for the truth. But I pray that you'd help me. Help me that I'll never compromise for fear, favor, family, or money, or any other thing, Lord. When I stand before you that day, I want you to be able to look at me and say, enter in to the joys of the Lord. Oh, Lord God, I couldn't hear greater words. Help me, Lord. Help all of us, I pray. Praise God. How many of you people here today in this visible audience, and those that are streaming as well, and those that will go back and archive this service, you'd like to be remembered before the Lord? You want bride glory? You want resurrection, rapture glory? With it comes so many things, friends. We need God to help us. We need God to help us. Men, women, children, whoever we are. Amen. Would you lay your hand on that person standing there by you if you would? I'd pray for each of you this morning, but I don't think I have the strength to do it. But would you just lay your hand on them and ask God to help them today? whatever their vocation is, whatever their need is. Hallelujah. Many of you have sat here service after service for years, and you've received the glory of this word as our Lord Jesus, the Son of Man, has come among us and unveiled himself. He took the veil off and let us see him. But with that revealing comes more do's and don'ts. That's what becomes difficult for people. But may God help us that it'll be a joy in our hearts. It'll be a joy in our hearts to fulfill what he said. When people cast their name out as evil, they went, well, I got to pray for them. I've got to. No, may it be, Lord, help me to be like you. Help me to love like you. Help me to forgive like you. Oh, Lord Jesus, we worship you today, mighty God. Hallelujah. Oh, the glory of God had never been revealed in such a great way till you came upon the earth, Lord Jesus. And with that glory came the greatest suffering any individual has up to that present time or will ever suffer again. For the greatness of the glory must also be accompanied with obedience. Hallelujah. And words alone won't do it, Father. But when those words are transformed by the power of God into an obedient spirit in our hearts, then, Lord, we do it simply because we love you. We don't serve you because we're scared we'll go to hell, scared we'll miss the rapture, scared you're going to whip us. No, but because we love you, Father. Minister to your people today, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, if there's one here today that's just in stage one of the new birth, the workings of the Spirit of God, may they move on up. There's some in stage two. Lord, maybe there's many, hopefully, that's standing here today as far as new births. They're in stage three, and those threes have produced one miraculous new birth in their heart. But maybe, Lord, they're in other stages of walks in their life with you, in their growth, in their maturity, coming through trials and tests. Lord, help us, I pray. Many times, Father, I wonder if we don't miss these opportunities when you will allow us to be evil and treated. You will allow us, Lord, to be hated and cast down instead of us looking at it and say, Lord, if you got something you want to teach me out of this, if we're not careful, we'll go on the defense mode and feel sorry for ourselves. I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. And we spend all of our time trying to understand instead of spending time saying, thank you, Lord. You counted me worthy, Lord. When the apostles were beaten for the name of the Lord Jesus and let go, the scripture said they went out and rejoiced because they were counted worthy to be beaten. They were counted worthy. Oh, Father, may we count it an honor to be beaten for you by the people of this age. Oh, not physically, Lord, yet they'll run down our character and so on and so on. But may we, Lord Jesus, count it such a great honor because we are reflecting already as we are beholding our face in the mirror. The glory is being reflected. May we see it, Lord God. If we can only view it in the right way. Troubles for your word. Tribulation for your namesake. It's only the future coming of glory. If we can see it in the mirror. Grant it, I pray, Lord. Birth pains. Birthing us into that realm, Father. We love you, Lord Jesus. Forgive us for our complaining. Forgive us, Lord. For our shortcomings and our failures. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands and just close our eyes now in the presence of the great King? I don't know where you are, friends, in the glory of God. I don't know where you are in your own walk with God. But God desires to reveal Shekinah. As I said, the Lord Jesus, no one will ever walk where he did. The church age messengers, none of us will ever walk where they did. None of us will ever attain to what the prophet of God walked in. I don't think we want that anyway. We want what God wants for us. But they walked in that sphere, that place that God ordained them to be. I want my place, whatever that is. I want my portion of his glory. That's not so I can say I'm this and I'm that and I've done this. I ain't talking about that. That's the way man looks at glory. I'm talking the way God will reveal himself through the Shekinah light. The Shekinah light strikes the seed of the word and it comes forth in our life. That's the extension of the glory of God. As the word matures by life out of us, we're reflecting the glory of God. Jesus said, let your good works, let people see them. Let your light so shine that men may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord Jesus. We praise you, Heavenly Father. You are so good to us, Lord. You brought us through so many hard trials and difficult times. We want to thank you, Father. Lord, as we go on in time, many people are proving they are unfit to sit around this message. Many people have proved they are unfit to sit in this church and sit under this ministry. Many have proved the same thing at Brother Tim's and Brother Ron Spencer's, Mike Price, different brothers, Lord, that you've called to preach this great truth. They have proved themselves unworthy to sit under the ministry, the caliber of such men. So they get up and they go here and there and there and go back to some denominational something or another. They're proving what they are. As you said of those that was invited to the supper, they are not worthy to taste of my supper. But Lord, as this word goes on, we want to prove we are worthy by the grace and the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Praise God. When the last sermon is preached before the rapture, I want to be sitting right here, Lord willing, with my feet under the table. Amen. I want to prove by the grace of God in my life, I am fit for the marriage supper because I'm fit to sit under a God-called man. Hallelujah. I'm fit to feed on this tapes under the ministry of the seventh angel. I'm fit to be able to stand and bring this word. Hallelujah. It is the glory of God, the future glory, which is now imparting itself in time by the way we live, our appetites, our desires to serve you. The glory is being revealed in minute, small ways as it reflects itself through us, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, sing something. Let's just worship the Lord together before we go. You love him, children, with all your heart. Many of you have seen the glory of God in your life. You've seen God save you, God sanctify you, God give you the Holy Ghost, God share his glory of his word. Keep on walking in it. Let more unveil itself as the mighty God takes the veil off of his word. And with it comes the mirror. And with that mirror, you must hold it straight on. The burnished copper, we'll look at it, Lord willing, next week. The burnished mirror and the ways was totally unlike the mirrors we have today. And it had to be looked at almost directly. You hold it sideways. You wouldn't get a view of the proper image. We must take that word and look at just like that. Don't hand it to your husband. Don't hand it to your wife, your neighbor. Why wish Brother so-and-so had been there today? Pull yourself up in the mirror and look at it straight on. And let God begin to change your image. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Yes, Lord. Let's sing it together, shall we? I'll let you go here in a few minutes and have your lunch. Let's just worship him a little. Just a little before we go. I will, Lord.
Will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him, all the way. He will give me grace.
Where he
I'll go with him through the garden. I'll go with him all the way where he leads me. Take me past the outer courts into the holy place, past the brazen altar. Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people.
Lord Jesus,
the priest to sing your praise.
Yes, Lord.
I hunger and thirst for your righteousness.
Yes, Lord God.
But it's only found in one place.
Yes, Lord.
Take me into the holy.
Yes, Lord.
Of holies.
Yes, Lord God.
Take me in. Hallelujah. By the blood of the Lamb. Take me.
Hallelujah.
Touch my lips, here I am.
Oh, blessed Lord God. Hallelujah.
Take me into,
yes,
the
Lord,
holy
Jesus.
Of holies.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Take me in by the blood
of the
Lamb. Take me. My lips, here I am. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Touch my lips, here I am. Take me
out
of courts.
Praise you, Jesus.
Into the holy place.
Yes, Lord.
Past the brazen altar.
Yes, Father.
Lord, I long to see your face.
See your face.
Pass
Jesus.
Me by the crowds of people.
Amen, Lord.
Priest to sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. Take me.
Let's sing it before we go. Take me
in the holy,
oh, holy.
Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Touch my lips, here I am.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Heavenly Father, it must have been an awesome day when that high priest walked into that Holy of Holies. A pomegranate and a bell, a pomegranate and a bell on the border of his garments. The incense in his hands. As he went into the second court and he comes back out, he changes his clothes. He goes back in, he comes back out, he changes his clothes 7 times in a pattern. Till finally he walks in behind the Holy of Holies. There on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Oh Lord Jesus, I pray, help each of us today to make sure we're not just taking incense, we're not just bringing offerings and tithes, we are bringing the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, that we can know that we are forgiven. We love you, Lord. Go with us now as we depart from this place, never to depart from your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. How many can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come, sweet Jesus. Amen. Let's sing the song that we were singing when I came out a while ago. Come, sweet Jesus, take me from this place. God bless you. We'll be dismissed as we go. Go in the fear of God. Service Wednesday night. Come, sweet Jesus, take me from this place. I really don't belong here now. I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. God bless you, saints.
Take me from this place. I really don't belong here now. I want to see your face. Come, sweet Jesus. Take me away. Come today, Lord, we are your people, preparing now to be your bride.